As I said, this weekend we celebrate the death, burial, and more importantly, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I suspected in preparing for this that we might have a few visitors today, being Easter. And although I don't normally do this, I thought I should come up with a title for my sermon. That's what good preachers do, I guess. I knew I was supposed to come up with something that would kind of give the point of the sermon, give the point of the message in a single phrase. Now that Jeremy's putting our messages, the audio part on our website, I thought, well, it'd be good if I could come up with something with a little ring of intelligence to it, being that we're in a college town. But I've got to tell you, all I could come up with was, Easter, it ain't about the bunny. So that's the title. You know, churches, us Christians, we have a tendency to get caught up in the world's way of celebrating different holidays. Don't worry, I'm not going to go off on a rant about pagan origins to holidays or try to demonize your family traditions that you may have. If you've got an Easter egg hunt planned for your kids after church today, God bless you. Have a blast with that. The problem comes, though, when we make that the emphasis of things and lose what's really worth celebrating in the day. And I'm not saying this to you as condemnation or trying to beat on you. Actually, I bring this up in way of a confession. A couple of people just woke up. It is a confession. I grew up in a home that didn't allow me to wait until I was 18 or all grown up to make my own decisions. Didn't grow up in a home that allowed the world to influence me without direction from my parents and just left me on my own to sift through the poison and decide for myself what I would believe. I'm telling you, I'm confessing, I was brainwashed growing up. The Easter Bunny was a big deal in my home and taught as a gospel, really. You guys know gospel means good news. Wasn't really so much the Easter Bunny himself, but I became a faithful worshiper of the Easter basket. On this day, I looked forward to that cheap chocolate hollow bunny, you know. Some of my friends got the solid bunny, or better yet, the peanut butter bunny. You remember that? I know the white bunny came out afterwards. I was never a fan of that. But I was happy with what I got. Even the Easter grass in the basket, and jelly beans, and peeps, you know, the little yellow chicks. I never had the patience, but I liked them better if I could wait and let them go a little stale. They'd harden up a little bit. As I got older, a Cadbury egg or two might appear. And we had this tradition in my home of hiding the basket. Different than the Christmas stocking, but we'd hide the basket. And as years went by, the hiding places got more and more creative. One year, I was absolutely stumped. Close to lunchtime, I finally checked the clothes dryer. Found it. That was quite an Easter. The last year that we did this, I looked all over the house, couldn't find it. Didn't know what to do. Finally, in desperation, I ventured out into the garage. And there it was. I looked up, it was like a vision from heaven. I saw the treasured basket. I grabbed the basket, ran inside to enjoy my prize. You guys remember I said this was the last year we did it, right? Somebody? Okay, thanks. I was so focused on finding the Easter basket, kind of bugged my parents that I completely overlooked the fact that it had been hanging on the handlebars of a brand new bike that they bought me. Missed it. Never saw it. In the same way that I completely missed what was to be treasured that day by grabbing a hold of a lesser prize, we completely miss out if we fail to look at what's worth celebrating on this day, on Easter. Some of you know my background before this was in law enforcement, and some of you are involved in that same field. That's a whole other calling. It's not for everybody. But one of the positive things that came out of that background for me was my need for establishing evidence. So, all that being said, what is Easter all about? Genesis 1:1. We're going to experiment with putting verses up today, but so far it's failed. So, first page of your Bible, very, very first verse, give you a hint to where to find it. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Created the things that were above, created the earth, this rock that we stand on. If you skip down to verse 26 in that same chapter, then God said, "Let us," get that, "let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Then God said us in that verse. Who is us? God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. A triune God, three in one. So God created the heavens. God created the earth, we said in verse 1, and God created us. But why? Why did he do that? You know, just as I had searched for that Easter basket, we as humans seek after some meaning in this life, a purpose, meaning to it all, some evidence that God is real, that he actually loves us. The first step in finding that answer, Ron scared me. I thought he was going to try to work the computer. Sorry. The first step in finding that answer is connecting with the one that created us. 1 John 4, starting in verse 9, that's way back to the right of your Bibles, almost all the way to the end. Book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 9. "In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, Jesus, to be the propitiation for our sins." Propitiation, I can hardly even say it. Perfect substitute. For us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us." That word abides is like a vine being grafted in. God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit," part of that triune God. "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." That's part of this day, Easter. He sent the Savior. Verse 15, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Now, if you've been around for a little while, you'll remember that one of the reasons why I encourage you to have a Bible and to open it up where I'm talking, or even do this, is a couple of weeks ago teaching through, I skipped 10 verses. I didn't hear about it till afterwards, so it's important. So in that passage I just read, we're told that God sent his Son Jesus to be Savior of the world. Most of us have heard the verse, John 3:16. Yes? You ever watch a professional football game? You've probably seen that up there. These are words spoken by Jesus himself. John 3:16, can we get that up there? I didn't tell Brian we were going to do this today, so this is my fault. While he's doing that, I just want to say, I hope you guys aren't bugged by the chorus of babies during worship. That absolutely blesses me. If it does, blame me, because I want him in here, and pray that the Lord will change your heart, because I think that's cool. We got that? Okay, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We heard that already today. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. The whole world. Not just your block or my block or your neighborhood or a certain ethnic group. God loved the whole world. And he loved it so much that he gave his only son. Try to wrap your head around that if you're a mom, if you're a dad. Gave his only son. That whoever believes in him. Whoever. Guys, we're the whoever in that. Whoever. You. Me. Whoever believes in him. We can have everlasting life. That's what's exciting about Easter. The other things are fun, entertaining, but that is what's exciting about Easter, because Jesus died for you and me. Because God is holy, he can't just let sin slide. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is what? Death. Or the penalty that should, that must, not should, that must be paid for sin is death. Jesus Christ came into this world and lived a sinless life. Does that mean that he never did anything wrong? Yes, it does. He never did anything wrong, and he did not deserve to die. The problem is we can't say the same thing about ourselves. We've all sinned, and the price to be paid for sin, as we've already said, is death. So by that, we deserve to die. Happy Easter. This is what the Lord gave me. I truly believe it, so bear through it. We deserve to die. The problem is we're not sinless. We've all sinned. If the price to be paid for sin is death, then we deserve to die. You see, the pep rally unfortunately ends with John 3:16, the promise that we can have everlasting life. Later in that same chapter, chapter 3, verse 36. Says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. That's right with John 3:16, right? I'm all with that. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You see, there's another side to this coin. John 14:6. See, he's here so I don't have to flip. Jesus said, again, this is Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is there really only one way? Well, let's look at it again. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Romans chapter 10, Brian. Starting in verse 9. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's our happy Easter. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that is what this day is all about. You will be saved. You can know that you're saved. You can know that you have everlasting life. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Matthew 13. But if we call on his name, we've got that. What if we don't? Again, this is Jesus speaking. If we don't call on his name, if we choose to reject the gift that God has given, in Matthew chapter 13, I'm quoting all this, guys. I'm not giving you my pitch or my opinion on these things. That's why we're going through so much scripture today. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41 through 43. If you're following along in your Bible, it's in red because it's the words of Christ. The Son of Man, which is one of his favorite terms, one of Jesus' favorite titles for himself, will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So, we all have a choice to make. Church, Easter is not just about Jesus paying the price for your sin, but that he defeated death when he rose on the third day. He rose from the grave. I mentioned my need to have evidence. In your bulletin today, there's an insert that lists out this right here with the cross. It lists out eyewitnesses, or those that actually saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. The standard in our courts today often require eyewitness testimony to establish something as truth. The verses that I've given you there to look up on your own testify of hundreds of people. In fact, one account was 500 people. That saw Jesus after his death on the cross and before he ascended to heaven. Witnesses that went to their death, some tortured even, but never changing their story on that. If we left here today, all went out into the parking lot, we certainly don't have 500 here, all went out into the parking lot and witnessed a robbery, and then this group testified of that in court, be a slam dunk, right? Everyone would know what happened. You've got a list of evidence there with you. I'm giving you that evidence, but the truth is, if you're here this Easter morning and the Lord's working on your heart, the Holy Spirit's moving, you already know the truth. All that's left at this point is to receive that gift that's worth celebrating. Before we leave, I want to give you that opportunity. Clock tells me that we're running out of time. So in a minute, I want everybody to bow their heads when I tell you, and just kind of close your eyes. And we do that if you've never truly asked God to forgive you of the things that you've done wrong, the things that are sin, and you want to do that today, I'm going to ask that you just quietly stand up where you are. And we've done this different ways. Have you come up front? Have you raise your hand? But I'm going to ask that you stand up where you are, and I'll just lead you in a simple prayer. My intent is not to embarrass you by doing that. I'm not going to call you down front. That's all I'll do is have you stand where you are. But I want to encourage you to stand in here with people that love you, that are going to support you, so that you'll know that you'll be able to stand out there in a world that'll mock you. So, if everyone will do that, bow your head, close your eyes. If you know that today I've been talking to you, if you know today that God has been talking to you, and you want to make a change in your life, I'm going to ask that you stand, and I'll just lead you in a short prayer of repentance. Is there anybody that wants to do that today? Anybody that will be bold enough to mark this time, Easter Sunday 2012, is the day that you got right with God? I'll give you just a minute. Okay. If any of you are in that position and want to do that, and for whatever reason can't stand, family or pride or whatever it is, but you've made that decision in your heart, get with me afterwards, get with the person that brought you, and let them know, let somebody know what the Lord did in your heart today, so that they can help guide you where to go from here. Let's pray. We'll close out our service. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this love letter that you've given us, this way that we can be made clean, Lord, have a fresh start in you, that our sins, our offenses against you can be washed away, never to be held against us, Lord. I thank you for paying the penalty for my sins and defeating death and sin when you rose from the grave. I thank you, Lord, that I can know and these other people can know that we will spend eternity with you and not doubt that. Father, I just ask that you bless these people today, Lord. Bless their time with their families. Lord, give opportunity for the conversation to be about you, to be about the real meaning of Easter. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace, church.